Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. A joint session of Congress is underway this hour to formally count the votes of the Electoral College. Meanwhile, outgoing South Dakota House Speaker Stephen Haugert attended a Stop the Steal rally in Sioux Falls over the weekend. It was an event also attended by members of the Proud Boys. Just who are they? Let's bring our Dakota political junkies together as we welcome former State Senator Tom Dempster. Welcome back, Tom.
Good afternoon, Lori. Good to be here.
And from Vermilion, we have USD Associate Professor of Political Science, Mike Card. Happy New Year, Mike.
Happy New Year to you, Lori, and to you as well, Tom, and to all of your listeners.
Indeed.
All right.
Indeed.
It is a day in Washington that in previous elections has gone fairly unnoticed, and today all eyes are on Washington and Congress. You can actually go to sdpb.org to see the live coverage embedded there if you like. Today we're going to give you some context for what's happening and how it really impacts South Dakota's congressional delegation as well. So, Mike, let's start with you because this is the part where the election results are opened and officially counted and certified for Congress. Tell us a little bit about what the procedure is today.
Well, the procedure started back in November when we actually elected electors. In the presidential election, we didn't actually vote for either Joe Biden or for Donald J. Trump. We voted for electors who had pledged the political party for which they represent to vote for those candidates. On the 6th or the 8th of December, that's the safe harbor date by which all objections to the election of those electors had to be resolved. And on December 14th, those electors, and in South Dakota, Governor Noem was out of state, so the chair of the Republican Party sat in for her, and those electors cast their ballot. The governor then certified the results of that election where they cast their ballots and sent it to the Archivist of the United States, who that vote is today, or probably yesterday, was brought over to the Capitol, and the pages brought those votes in into the House chamber for a joint session of Congress in a wooden box, and the vice president will open those votes and hand the votes to the tellers, which are representatives of each chamber, who are then to read the votes and record the votes.
And they start, what, in alphabetical order by the states? Is that the order that it comes through?
That is my understanding of how it works.
Okay. So my understanding then is that that is the opportunity for people to protest, which some Republican... go ahead.
There are some limits on how they can protest. It's stating an objection, and a member of the House or the Senate has to rise and address the presiding officer, who is Vice President Mike Pence, and they have to present a petition in writing involving one representative and one senator of their objections. And upon that objection, it cannot be ruled out of order by precedent, not stated in the rules anywhere. The joint session will dissolve, and the senators will head back over to the Senate chamber, and the representatives will remain in the chamber. There will be a two-hour possible hearing. Each member is allotted 5 minutes, again, by precedent or by rule, and they can yield time to each other, and then they will cast majority vote either to sustain the electors of that state as certified by the governor of that state or not.
Tom Dempster, are we in the realm of, political, nerdy political procedure or expansive political theater?
Ooh. Boy, I don't know. I don't know anyone who has perfect questions like you do. I'm sitting at my lake cabin up at Lake Prospect right now, and I'm looking in the direction who are oftentimes in the spring and summertime, we look for the approach of thunderstorms and tornadoes. Trump wins this one because Trump has won just about everything for the past 4 years, because it doesn't make a difference what it is. It doesn't make a difference whether it's the crowd size at your inauguration or whether it's this electoral vote. He wins because our President Trump is a master at spinning vortexes. And our whole country, everybody has been involved in this vortex. I don't know if you followed. This recent discussion about black holes in the center of our universe. But when you enter a black hole, your neck is elongated a couple hundred thousand times. Your limbs are ripped off, and you just are deposited. Well, nobody knows where. And that's a pretty good analogy of the circumstances that we found ourselves in. Trump wins this one. No one expects him to win this controversy over electoral votes, because he created the controversy. But again, this vortex spins and spins and spins, and everybody falls into it. And it's all about collecting that base and maintaining your strength for those who support you. We all kind of enjoyed a lapse. We enjoyed maybe a little bit of a coming honeymoon, shall we say, where all of this heated conversation, all of this tornado, all of this vortex kind of seemed to cease for a week and a half to 2 weeks. We're right back in the tornado again. It'd be nice to think that with a newly elected president, that a lot of this violent weather activity continues to happen or goes away, that no longer tears us apart. But I think that might be a tad too optimistic. It becomes a responsibility for all of us who live in a fragile democracy, who live in something that's artificial to ultimately the natures of who human beings are, really becomes important for us to say, this kind of stuff shall not take place any longer.
I want to talk about that vortex and how some of South Dakota politicians are handling the vortex as it swirls around them. And let's start with U.S. Senator Mike Rounds, who made his statement saying tomorrow's vote will be one of the most consequential votes I'll likely take as a U.S. senator. I have not joined the chorus of those for or against an objection. Today, those objections do not exist. And he goes on to say, I will keep an open mind. I look forward to seeing the evidence to support the objections that are being proposed. The Constitution, not political expediency, will guide my decision-making. This is one of those non-statement statements, one of those things that says, I'm going to keep an open mind and look at the evidence. Mike Card, when we talk about Tom's vortex analogy, what is the impact or implications for U.S. Senator Mike Rounds as he issued this particular statement?
I'm not sure what the implications are for Senator Rounds. I think to a large extent, a large percentage of the South Dakota voters favor President Trump. Certainly they favored him above Joe Biden. I think this is another attempt to placate the Trump base at the risk of casting doubt upon the entire electoral process. I don't see any way that this vote today can end up in any other way than accepting the votes as certified by the governors of each of the states.
So we are already at the point. I'm just going to jump in here, Mike, and say that the votes for Arizona have been objected to, and that procedure is unfolding as we speak. But to what Mike was just saying, further on in U.S. Senator Rounds' statement, he says, I wholeheartedly support an independent investigation in the 2020 election. I'm interested in restoring faith, certainty, and transparency for the American voter. Until we get to the bottom of these allegations, I fear Americans' faith in our electoral process is in great jeopardy. Tom, let's talk about that and then bring Mike back in too, because basically there has been no evidence that there has been any widespread fraud that would impact any of these state elections. That has been clear. The legal challenges from the Trump administration's lawyers have all been turned away. And so what is Mike Rounds talking about here to get to the bottom of these allegations? Haven't we already gotten to the bottom of the allegations?
For a second, I don't want to dismiss how difficult these jobs are, particularly with how heated they've become. But Lori, if you will forgive another analogy, and it's another lake analogy, but I have 9 delicious grandchildren, and it's my responsibility to teach them how to swim, especially to swim longer distances. So the first thing that I do is to get them used to the water, and they're eminently used to the water, as I say, take as deep a breath as you possibly can, submerge yourself, and only come up when you have to. And I think that's what happened in this particular circumstance, is take a deep breath, go underwater, come up after the election is over, come up after this controversy is over, and then continue on and be about your business. I think that's just the way it is.
Mike, to your point about undermining the integrity of the election, is there something in this statement that really does that, that adds validity to something that has already been proven to be nothing more than a conspiracy theory?
There isn't anything in that statement that reduces the unfounded, unsupported allegations of voter fraud. There are ways that Congress could do this. The Senate is in the hands of the Republican parties. They have had over 2 months by which they could have held hearings and introduced evidence to get to the bottom of this. Unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the goal. The goal seems to be one of either undermining the imminent presidency of Joe Biden, undermining the media, undermining the people's confidence itself in the electoral process. If you want to get to the bottom of this, you present evidence and you hold hearings. Instead, what they have is they now have 2 hours by which senators will argue about whether this should be they should accept the electors from the state of Arizona that were certified by the governor of the state of Arizona.
All right. Lori, can I spin off from that for just a second?
Yeah, please.
I mean, the one thing that our President Trump has done, and done many things, but one of the things that he's done in our service is he has exposed how wounded our democracy is. He's exposed how easy it is for us to respond to an authoritarian impulse, how easy it is for us to become Old Testament people, if you will, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I have an exercise program that's about 50 minutes long, which gave me the ability to listen to the entire conversation between our President Trump and the Secretary of State of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And to hear the discussion that was paranoid, it was fear, it was smear, it was bullying, it was lying, it was a withering attack and conspiracy of theories, just those type of things that you use, just those tools that you construct to build an autocracy. We too are very, very susceptible to this. And the good thing that our President Trump has done is exposed how wounded our democracy is, how fragile it is, and how important it is once again to identify with our democratic principles.
Tom, I want to bring this through your lens as a former state senator back home in this way with South Dakota's outgoing Speaker of the House, Stephen Haugaard, stands at a Stop the Steal rally in Sioux Falls. He's photographed there, as printed in the Argus Leader. He does not make a statement at that time. This event also has members, self-identified members of the Proud Boys, guarding the stage or standing in front of the stage in the appearance of guarding the stage, what have you. When we talk about what you just said, and then say, here at home, there are state lawmakers who are arriving at this rally and lending their face to that conversation in conjunction, in the presence of members of the Proud Boys, what does that mean for us here at home, Tom?
Lori, once again, a great question. I don't remember when it was. Maybe it was after I was a county commissioner once, so maybe before a legislative session. I walked through a libertarian convention, mostly because I was just interested in seeing what's there and seeing what the arguments are and see what the conversation was. Some media or somebody picked that up, that I was at that convention, and used that to condemn me for being there. I didn't say anything. I didn't intend to be photographed or anything like that. I don't know if I can condemn someone for standing there or not. I mean, I don't like that, but were one to speak, that might be entirely different. I would ask the same question that you just asked, but on this particular circumstance, maybe not on many other circumstances, but on this particular circumstance, I might give him a pass.
Mike Card, what else in our remaining minute or so do you think is really important to bring up about this day, as the senators have returned to their chambers for a debate over the votes in Arizona, which, as you mentioned, have been certified by the governor of Arizona. We've heard reports that there are six of these states, the swing states, that Joe Biden won in the election: Arizona and Georgia, Wisconsin and Michigan, Pennsylvania. This could be a long day. It could be more than one day. Mike Card, what else do you think needs to be said today?
Tom's notion that our democracy is fragile and it depends upon each of us as individuals to, if you'll forgive the metaphor, take what is told to us with a little grain of salt, and to look for evidence and look for corrections in statements, because the news media reports on events as it occurs. And as we know, things change over time as more facts are known. But it requires us to be diligent and to be both critical and yet accepting of what is going on in the world around us. It's frightening in some senses that, or I know that people are frightened depending upon who's elected as to what they will do. I think our country is resilient enough that we will get through this transition of authority. However, I think we need to take a look in the mirror and say, am I listening to other voices? Am I giving them a hearing? Am I merely waiting for the other person to speak and take a breath so that I can get my points in? There are lots of possibilities for how this might turn out. But let's also think that our ability to govern ourselves depends upon our willingness to do what is in the best interest of the country. You know, my parents sailed off to England and to North Africa. They were both veterans. They did not like fascism and authoritarian governments, and certainly instilled that in me. And I think we have to be on guard for someone who's willing to say that we should bow down to any person. It is the collective United States and us as collective citizens within each state to make sure that our government is operating with the consent of the people. And that means we have to compromise on occasion. We may not get the policies we want, but we get policies that don't make people worse off.
Dr. Mike Card, no, not at all. Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Senator Tom Dempster, thanks as well, Tom.
Happy New Year.